right, folks, let's start reporting back and see how the tables went. I heard lots of good productive discussion as we went around. I didn't hear too many screams of frustration and fury, all of which is good. So let's begin at the far right. Jordan, your table, I believe, that would make it. And hear from you folks as to what you came up with, what issues you identified. Remember, at this point, we're not wordsmithing. We're not coming up with the world's perfect representation of this thought and idea, but merely trying to hopefully establish some sort of consensus as to what we'll talk about when we do the wordsmithing.
So, okay. So Jordan took notes, but I'm going to just report back. So we divided up our recommendations, I guess, into two broad categories. One, sort of the broad overarching points, which are fairly anti-ACTA as it stands right now, and then a second basket that if you must go ahead, here are some of the kinds of things that we think ought to be done. In that first basket of broad overarching points, we talked about scope of ACTA, limiting it strictly to counterfeiting and not dealing with substantive IP provisions. Those should be dealt with in IP institutions. We talked about transparency of the negotiations, a release of the full draft text that would be updated after each round. The trade agreement framework may be convenient for the negotiators, but this should be treated like other IP treaties and made more readily available. A third point would be to open the negotiations to all interested state parties, so the prospect of allowing other countries involved should they want to become involved. Fourth, focus on protecting the internet as a place for innovation and the free exchange of knowledge, the need for real justification for the current approach in ACTA, and I guess somewhat related to that, the need for evidence to justify any changes. That evidence should be based on independent evidence, not commissioned by those participating in the debate. The trade-off for countries like New Zealand, given the current draft text, and an identification costing exercise to identify what the cost is in taking the approach currently set out and identifying who would be asked to pay for it. So that's sort of at a broader level. If we go ahead based on some of the things that we see in the text right now, there are a number of points that we made. One, essentially an inclusion of a set of global consumer protections to be part of the treaty, including things like fair use, privacy, and perhaps even more global release of content. Secondly, any substantive provision should be high-level, flexible, and let individual countries implement them appropriately. In other words, the approach that we see in other IP texts that don't get nearly as granular as ACTA does. Thirdly, limitations and exceptions should be incorporated into ACTA so that any substantive ACTA provision should include, in a sense, the equivalent limitations and exceptions that are found in other IP treaties, and that existing flexibility should also be protected. Another point is that third-party liability should be excluded. Broadest possible safe harbors, approach of a common carrier, mere conduit justification, and on notice and notice, clear, simple requirements along the lines of notice and notice, not graduated response. For the anti-circumvention provisions and copyright management information, the language in ACTA should not deviate from the language found in the WIPO internet treaties. The treaty, and I guess we're being a bit inconsistent here, but the treaty should be silent on disconnection or termination remedy. So earlier I said no graduated response. Now we're saying that the ACTA shouldn't even touch really the issue. Don't engage in institution building. That existing IP treaty institutions can handle these issues, not a new institution along the lines of ACTA.
Thank you. Okay. I certainly recognize many of those from ours as well, but it was lovely to hear some that we didn't think of. Okay, who's next? I'm going to rely on the microphone carrier. Select one. Go on, pick one out of the bucket. Yes, that'd be great.
Okay, there's a lot of things that we were talking about that we didn't really send along regarding the scaling of punitive damages and things like that, but the main things that we focused on were intermediaries, that they shouldn't be subject to enforcement obligations and transparency, of course, that any IP agreement should be labeled as an IP agreement and not as an anti-counterfeiting agreement, that copyright needs to be protected as a balance between protecting creativity or facilitating creativity and facilitating access to knowledge, and that it shouldn't become lopsided, and recognizing a basic right to connect to the internet, that the internet is becoming more and more a link to political information and a method of participation, and shouldn't be taken from people without any regards to whether in their country that's how you register to vote or something like that. And that there should be no ability for an agreement to decrease the burden of proof in any country if that guilt by accusation is not acceptable. I think that's pretty much most of what we talked about.
Thank you.
Hi. So we've got following headlines and suggestions of what should be in there. Subversion of process. There should be minimum requirements involving transparency of what an international treaty process should be. And a proportionate response. First, the problem that ACTA seeks to address needs to be defined, and then a proportionate responses can be identified correctly. Unequal consequences. New Zealand shouldn't agree to anything in ACTA that impacts usage of copyright material compared to what citizens of the US can do, both in terms of fair dealing and unregulated uses. Encouraging content creation. Knowing what I can do and what reuse is valid in each country is valuable. This is something positive the agreement could look at. DRM and regional coding. If you don't have recourse to the viable legal alternative on the internet, whether because it's a new release or an orphan work, for example, then the copyright holder should not be able to issue infringement notices. Scope. We've heard about limiting ACTA's scope, but I think perhaps we could go further and endorse ACTA focusing on enforcement measures to prevent infringement of trademark, patents, copyrights in relation to physically manufactured goods, excluding those that simply involve distribution of information media, and for the reasons of public health and safety. Intellectual property, do not use the term, but use copyright, trademarks, and patents as appropriate, and even the word counterfeiting is suspect. Doesn't appear to be an accurate description. Third-party liability, keep it principled. Let's not have the treaty being too prescriptive. Allow for potential in respect to where the law might go in the future. Take out the three strikes example and put in at least five examples that represent a variety of views or approaches. Commercial versus non-commercial. There needs to be better explanation of commercial versus non-commercial and examples included about what it means, because there is a lot of grey areas. That's us.
Thank you. What was item number three? Sorry, I'm scribbling furiously.
Number three. Unequal consequences.
Could you run that one again?
New Zealand shouldn't agree to anything in ACTA that impacts usage of copyright material compared to what citizens of the US can do, both in terms of fair dealing and unregulated uses.
Thank you.
I hope everyone's emailing their notes to Jordan as well so we can collate all this.
We've got a memory stick floating around with for you to put them on as well.
Our first thing was around transparency and the need for the text to be made open and to have meaningful consultation with all of the stakeholders during the negotiation process. The second thing was to go back to the original purpose of the actor and look at the harm being addressed. And given that it's anti-counterfeiting, that the focus should be on that and not on substantive questions of IP policy. So in terms of what should be in the actor, we were saying things around customs and enforcement information sharing, and that the actor should balance really carefully the interests of three main groups that we identified. The first was those of the copyright owners, so coming back to the idea of incentivising creation. The second was the interests of the public and end users, and here we came up with the idea of a charter of rights and freedoms that could include things like access to knowledge, privacy, not being criminalised for kind of standard behaviour, and it would incorporate things like copyright exceptions. And then the third element of the balance is the interests of the intermediaries. Our next point, our third point, was that if the negotiating countries press ahead with looking at substantive policy issues, which we disagree with, but if they do, that it's really important that there's the maximum amount of flexibility for the individual countries in terms of how they implement. The next thing was that paramount should be the protection of the interests of the public, looking at exceptions and what's needed for adequate access to knowledge, safe harbours and limitations on liability for those who are facilitating the access, so the intermediaries, and thirdly, preserving civil procedure and due process. We said that all the provisions in the ACTA need to be tightly aligned with a clear statement of the harm that's being addressed, so that there's a very clear justification for everything in there. The next thing was to preserve everyone's ability to consistently and reliably have access to the internet. The next one was that we want to encourage the growth of the digital economy and protect and empower digital innovators. And then we ran out of time. So we had...
It was a hell of an accomplishment in that short period of time.
So we're starting to look at things like, you know, no statutory damages, thoughts around secondary liability, those particular things, but we didn't get to the point of fleshing any of that out.
That's good. Thank you.
We were just observing that perhaps we should have had some form of social collaboration technology, because there's a lot of overlap in what we're going to say.
That's the point. So what we're doing is just surfacing the things that come up on every table and realising actually this is really important stuff that we all believe and that it therefore definitely should be in there.
Sure. So we started by looking at who the audience is for anything that we would produce from this, being conscious that it's public, but really it's politicians both here and overseas who need to be shamed into being more directive to their negotiators. Basically, we need to make it publicly apparent that they are arguing for things that are not what they would like to be seen to be associated with. We think there needs to be a preamble that acknowledges the fact that deceptive or counterfeit goods are genuinely detrimental to people and need to be stopped. But that reforming particularly copyright law, but intellectual property law generally, is a major policy issue that isn't the focus of this group, and it's not the right group to be doing it, and they should basically walk away from that and leave it to people to engage with as a major discussion internationally. So that's preamble stuff. We identified a set of principles which are not in priority order, though the first one is probably the most important, which is that the right to access the internet is now a fundamental human right. So nothing that this treaty proposes should violate someone's ability to access the internet. The second principle is that the trade treaty process should not be a backdoor way to redefine the scope and extent of the IP laws of sovereign nations. Politicians shouldn't be able to escape accountability through this process. Third principle, ACTA has to represent a balanced approach to intellectual property and copyright, which is to say that there must be explicit accounting of users as well as rights holders. By all means, harmonise laws, that's useful, but they must harmonise also the balancing aspects, sort of the fair use, fair dealing things. And economic outcomes must not be the only metric used to assess the legality of activities under the treaty. There need to be social, cultural and equity outcomes and impacts considered as well. Fourth principle is transparency, the need for public debate to improve the outcome. A range of perspectives need to be engaged, representation of multiple stakeholders, so NGOs as well as other states, as mentioned by Michael. There needs to be accountability of the positions taken in these negotiations by representatives of governments. They need to be accountable for what they've presented as their position. There needs to be much more specific language used throughout the document, the point that was made before, rather than using IP, which is interpreted very broadly in this document. They need to be much more specific about what they're actually referring to. Next one, number five, the legal processes embedded in this document need to respect the basic processes of the law, innocent till proven guilty, etc. And guilt and consequences must be established by courts, not by interested rights holders. Trade laws, the next principle, trade laws should not serve as a means of entrenching existing monopolies and protecting industries from competition, nor should they be providing preferential treatment for specific industries. Next principle, free flow of information and expression. Intermediaries must be absolutely protected so they don't restrict access and activities out of fear of legal consequences, the chilling effect. The right of criticism and comment must be absolutely protected. Secondary liability has to be removed just because it's totally unclear when it's played out, things like the Rockster case examples around inducement. Any enforcement must be done by established legal agencies. So there need to be safe harbour provisions for ISPs and a recognition that these have serious consequences and need to be done by the correct agencies. Next principle, there needs to be a clear and absolute distinction between commercial and non-consumer commercial activities meaningfully included in the treaty. We don't know how you would define that, recognising the points Kim raised, but somebody needs to define it. And non-commercial infringement under this treaty must not be criminalised. And the damages associated with that need to be real and actual damages, not some fantasy numbers. Final principle is privacy of communication and information, the need for warrants and legal oversight of any monitoring activities that might be undertaken. There need to be clear processes around the disclosure of identity information within existing legal frameworks, including the right for somebody to be notified that they have been identified under those processes. No secret squirrel stuff going on behind people's back. That's it.
Thank you. Wow.
Yeah.
Could I trouble you? I'm sorry, it's going to be a pain with the laptop, but could I trouble you to stand up so the camera can pick you up for the folks following?
Okay. Yeah, there's definitely some themes emerging here, and we don't differ too much. Perhaps we have some internal inconsistencies in our list, but don't worry about that. First of all, we thought there needs to be a clear demonstration by the advocates of the treaty what the need is, what it's aiming to deal with, what's the problem, and how does it address the problem. Then we also got on to this whole question of rights. I mean, intellectual property rights, as I think was stated this morning, are not fundamental rights. They are a protection of a monopoly, and there needs to be a balance, therefore, between the monopoly rights granted through IP and the rights of users and the public. And sort of following on from this, as a treaty affecting people's rights, public debate should be part of the process. As mentioned, internet access is now a fundamental right, and therefore people do need to be involved in that. The scope of the treaty should focus on counterfeit, or possibly the title should be changed to be more accurately reflect its objective, perhaps the anti-internet trade agreement. and also on scope, TPM should be beyond the scope of ACTA. Its access enforcement has nothing really to do with copyright. Then we raise the question as to why aren't existing enforcement procedures and legislation sufficient? Why can't this be done through existing multilateral arrangements, WIPO, etc., rather than create a new structure which could take over from national judicial processes? The role of intermediaries is important. They should not be placed in a role of policing what goes on over the internet. Remedies, privacy needs to be safeguarded. There need to be reasonable grounds to take action. Remedies should be proportionate, and judicial processes to protect rights and interests of all parties should be maintained. So coming from all that, we sort of felt that to rebalance ACTA, there needs to be a recognition of fundamental rights, things like fair use and agreed exceptions, the scope needs to be focused on counterfeit and commercial piracy. Don't use internet intermediaries for enforcement. It adds cost to users and breaks the internet. And finally, recognise the need for local flexibility, the point I think that was made before lunch. There are differing regimes, penalties and philosophies around the world, and they do need to be reflected.
Brilliant. Okay.
So we had a good discussion here and kept our list fairly short because we were sort of heading towards that declaration phase. First point that we have is that an economic cost benefit analysis has not been done is scandalous. All public communications should provide a holistic analysis of the implications of ACTA. We call on transparency and an end to secrecy in the negotiation process. As a result of the opaque nature of this process, it's hard to form expert opinions on which we're being asked to submit. ACTA is about prosecuting the open spread of knowledge. We think that the government should be more interested in acting as a regulatory enabler rather than a limiter. That was point three. Point four, we think that the treaty should contain explicit guarantees that no country's existing legislation will change as a result of ACTA. This has already been specified verbally by MED. If that is not possible, then it should be explicitly stated before submission what the impact on legislation will be. We don't think generic medicines should be considered counterfeit, and this kind of contradicts a little bit that you know statement that has been called for, that we all agree that counterfeiting is bad, because people will then start sticking that label on goods that they don't want to see traded that maybe aren't traditionally counterfeited. And finally, we're concerned about unequal penalty regimes in different jurisdictions. So we'd like to, our statement here is penalty regimes should not be dictated and binding.
Can you go into, a penalty regime should not be dictated and binding. Isn't that the point of ACTA, though? To harmonise enforcement regimes across the country, across the world?
Well, it's not clear to me from talking to some of those MED and MFAT people whether that is the case, but we think that should be explicit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that comes under the local flexibility stuff that everybody's been talking about as well. I think that's good. David, are you the spokesmodel? Mr. Farrar? No.
Okay, I think most things have actually
Could you stand
been
up
said
so
by
we can
point.
See the folks at home can see you?
So I think most of the points have actually been gone over at this point, but one or two of the things that we're quite against and is the scope, including TPM inclusions. It just doesn't make any sense based on the fact it's an anti-counterfeiting agreement. References to any particular technology implementations in the text make no sense. I think there was some discussion around camcorder provisions, and that goes to speak towards the sort of differentiating levels of punishment depending on what the act was. My personal opinion is that it's all about intent, and that's where it should be stuck to, not based on a technological difference between how a particular thing was copied. Other things that we were
Do talk about all of the things that you came up with, because it'll help us identify the common elements across all the tables. So don't just omit the ones that people have already mentioned. Thank you.
Okay. Position of New Zealand government on the draft, it should be, if we're going to sign up to it, we should agree to transparency.
Yep.
Disclosure of and to all parties of any draft text. Transparency during negotiation, so who said what and why. I've already talked about TPM anti-circumvention issues. Notice and takedown procedures for common carriers and hosting providers. We believe that there should be provisions perhaps in the Act for having some requirement on those common carriers for a process, but that any obligations to do anything further than having a process in place should not be in the text. Like I said, references to particular technologies. Definition of common carrier should be more clearly defined. We should make sure that we have a clear understanding of the influences of anything in the text on existing laws in New Zealand. There should be a clear economic cost-benefit analysis. There should be continuing education in terms of those people negotiating on the relevant issues. I think we talked about that at some length, that there is still quite a lot of misunderstanding of various different issues regarding the segments of IP law by politicians. I think there was an interesting released document from the UK last week where one of the ministers in charge of IP internet policy referred to an IP address as an intellectual property address, which was, you know, quite demonstrative of these kind of problems. I think that covers most of the things we had in here. Is there anything else I've missed, guys?
Fantastic. Thank you. I don't think we can unfortunately call for general politician cluefulness, though. That's probably outside the scope.
Okay, we spoke about the transparency of the process, first of all. We think the text should be released. This is an IP treaty, and it should be done openly. The need for ACTA and the lack of a problem, it hasn't been fully established that there is a need for ACTA. And it's a global response to one definition of a problem. We talked about the ACTA's relationship with existing IP mechanisms. It shouldn't be a knife in the back of things like WIPO, where some good work is already happening. Customary and existing treaties and frameworks, in New Zealand, for instance, there's an existing treaty through the Treaty of Waitangi, and there are other international customary law, and ACTA needs to recognise these. We also spoke about the internet as a human right and that ACTA is counter to this notion. Constitutional issues, ACTA should recognise freedom of speech and fair use. Secondary liability and safe harbour, we're unhappy with these concepts. Common carrier status suggested as more appropriate. The idea of user rights, there is no positive assertion of user rights in ACTA, and there should be. ACTA is framed entirely in the negative, and there's no balance, as other people have spoken about. Privacy, ACTA shouldn't harm people's privacy or involve surveillance of user activity. Enforcement and onus of proof, ACTA refers to alleged infringement only. The burden of proof should be on rights holders. The lack of definitions, clarification is needed on things like commercial versus non-commercial damages and civil versus criminal. We think in terms of damages, proportionality is required, and regimes for damages are better handled in local jurisdictions. An example of that, I think, is a 15-year-old ripping a DVD shouldn't be treated in the same way as a factory ripping hundreds of thousands. That's us.
Fantastic, thank you. And I'll report back from our table. Should be unsurprising to you that we talked about much of the same things that you did. So we've decided that our statement should turn the language around. We should require freedom and then permit encroachment on that. So we've tried to live up to that in our statements. The trade agreement should have a clear statement of its goal, which is something that we've heard before. We should affirm copyright as a limited monopoly granted for public good, in the terms of the ACTA should reflect this. And it must incorporate the concepts of balance and the public good, that is research, education, criticism, satire, parody, fair use and fair dealing, various reflections of the public good there. Ensure these exemptions are affirmed, and for TPMs as well, mention that public good is a goal, because this will have downstream importance as it essentially gets litigated in the future. It's important to state the benefits and the reasons why these things happen. If it's purely stated in economic terms, things will be litigated purely on an economic basis. In the realm of counterfeit goods, we were in favour of ACTA sticking to its knitting there, but aware that it should reflect that patent infringement is not the same as counterfeiting. So there are developing nations who violate patents for medicine, but that shouldn't be counted as counterfeiting unless the knockoff is packaged as the original. Because the scope and reach that of ACTA would extend to every household, ACTA needs to have some sort of threshold so that the private activities of individuals aren't affected by any of the measures adopted in it. Developing law that covers every household is something that should be done in public by elected representatives and not handed off to officials. And we had several sort of variations of this. We're bouncing around the same themes and unable to figure out exactly what the themes were because they were so entangled. We didn't want ACTA to be making substantive law. It's the wrong process to develop substantive law. So it shouldn't derogate, was the term, lovely word, going to use that in Scrabble. It shouldn't derogate from limitations and exceptions that exist in the countries that are negotiating this agreement. So we want to preserve that local flexibility. And we don't want to see, another way of looking at that, we don't want to see our fair dealing that we have eroded by ACTA, what little of it we have. We want to recognise that there is this local variance in copyright laws, and it's reflecting these fundamental philosophical and cultural differences. So America has free speech, and so they have fair use. We don't have free speech, we have fair dealing. ACTA should recognise but not trump those cultural and philosophical differences. We don't want criminal liability or statutory damages for private acts in ACTA. It should be sticking to that high volume, high impact, one group knocking off large numbers of DVDs. My private acts should not be covered by the same terms there. Distinguish between private acts of individuals and the forms of commercial counterfeiting and piracy at which it's appropriate to aim the treaty. So there's no distinction there between one person's act and many, and a larger problem. There's an end-to-end principle which the internet is built on that says that you carry things without discrimination, and secondary liability would change that by making you responsible for the content, and it's responsibility which you can only escape by inspecting and discriminating. And to do this changes the way the internet works. It's going to break internet technology, it's going to break the generativity of the internet, and it's going to generally hurt the success of the internet. So we think there's probably a right to connect as an ISP, meaning that ISPs should have that right as a basic starting ground rather than have the presumption of guilt, but they can only achieve innocence if, as the approach. But there's also a right to connect for individuals as well, which is the no disconnection idea. IP owners can't falsely engage or abuse measures in ACTA. The false claims that we've seen go out in the States are something that we should attempt to prohibit here. And because it's really simple to calculate financial harm done by an infringement, we don't want statutory damages because they're arbitrary, unfair, and unrelated to the harm caused. Damages should be proportionate, reasonable, and determined by a court. And then finally, we'd like more procedural protections for defendants and people against whom accusations of infringements are levelled. That is, the right to challenge orders made against you, that sort of stuff. So it seems like we've had quite a lot of aligned topics there. I've been keeping track on my sheet of paper and ticking the things that came up again and again. And it was very obvious that there was a strong demand for transparency, a strong demand to focus on counterfeiting, define it correctly in terms of public health and safety, and get that bit right. There was a strong interest in having all interested state parties and stakeholders present for these negotiations. There's some difference of opinion as to how much transparency was required. We wanted there was also agreement that there was a lack of evidence, independent evidence, and a description of the problem that ACTA is attempting to solve, without which it runs the risk of running awry. There was several occurrences of people talking about the cost of the current approach, and that is there a cost-benefit analysis done for the measures that are being proposed here. Definitely there was people saying that we need to have a statement saying copyright should be protected as a balance between creativity and access. We had a couple of people slamming the term intellectual property, which I think in the interests of clarity and precision makes sense to me. We had calls for various ways to drop the DRM specification. Some said any technology-specific text is wrong. Some said that the DRM stuff in particular is wrong. It's very weird talking to people when their eyes are focusing somewhere else. I hope they're much more interesting than I am. There was a strong affirmation of a right to connect. There was a strong affirmation of safe harbours, freedom from ISP liability. In other words, intermediates not subject to enforcement obligations. Some version of that wording will need to be constructed. We had more agreement on damages as a topic to cover, civil procedures, preserving local flexibility in one form or another. And then we get down to statements about how, positive statements about what the internet is good for, not just that it is a terrible beast destroying your industry, but also that the internet has wonderful things going for it that we shouldn't destroy by the laws that we make. We've got the burden of proof and existing civil procedures sort of tied in together there. And I think that's a rough statement. So what we'll do is we'll break for morning tea, and afternoon tea. Good God, yes. You honestly have a nap at midday, and it changes everything. So we'll break for afternoon tea. When we come back, we'll have narrowed this list down to a list of topics that we can then break up into groups and try to nail some wording on. And I suspect the way that we'll do this is we'll divide topics between groups, so that we're not all attempting to solve every problem, but instead focusing ourselves on a few. Let's make that happen. Let's go away to break. Jordan and I will nut out which topics and which groups, and then we'll see you in, I guess, 20 minutes. Is that right? Yes, 20 minutes. See you at 3:20.